إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent salat and salam on His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ordered the believers also to send durood and salam on His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this ayat was revealed, the Sahaba did not decide on their own how this salam is to be sent. They did not invent their own customs and practices. They did not do whatever they may have felt. They asked Rasulullah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to send salam on you. How should we do it? Now, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them what we know as Durood Ibrahim, which we recite in salah and elsewhere. This is the fundamental principle of the sunnah. What is the sunnah? The sunnah is anything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did or anything that he ordered others to do, which would be the same thing because he never ordered people to do things that he did not do. And the third one was something which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not prevent people from doing. So if somebody was doing something and if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say don't do it, then that also comes under sunnah. Now, why is the sunnah important? The sunnah is important because the sunnah converts an ordinary action into an action of ibadah. The sunnah converts an ordinary action into an action of ibadah. What is meaning ibadah? Ibadah means any action for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives reward. Any action which is done with the intention of pleasing Allah jalla jalaluhu and for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives reward. And that is why in ibadat, the basic fundamental principle of the sharia is that everything is haram except what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. This is the principle in ibadah. In other things, in muamilat, it is the opposite. Everything is halal except what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited. So whether you should drive a car or you should walk or you should ride a horse or whether you should have a textile shop or you should have a bookshop, whether you should build a house or not build, all of these matters you are free to do whatever you want except in matters where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited. For example, you are free to build a house, but you are not free to take a loan from a bank and pay interest because that is prohibited. But you don't have to ask, should I build a house? Should I put my door facing north or east or south? No, this is up to you. You do whatever you want. That Sharia has given complete freedom to do whatever we like as long as it is not something which is prohibited. But in ibadat, it is the opposite. Everything is haram except that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did or told us to do. So how must we pray salah? The way Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed salah. I cannot say I love Allah so much, two sujood is not enough for me, I want to make 10 sajda in every rakat. No, you may love Allah as much as you want, but you cannot make more than two sujood in each rakat. If you make a third sajda, then it is a fault. If you made it by mistake, then you make the sajda sahu. If you did it deliberately, then your salah is invalid. It's as simple as that. So we have no freedom to invent when it comes to the religion in terms of the ibadat and so on. The reason I'm saying is because we are in the month of Rabiul Awwal, and one of the things that we find, at least in our city, and I think this is probably Allah Alam, maybe also in other places, that on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, that day is celebrated as Eid-e-Miladun Nabi, the Eid of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the birth of Rasulullah ﷺ is the single biggest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on all of creation. There is no denial of this fact. If somebody denies that, then the person is not even a Muslim. So the birth of the Prophet ﷺ is the single biggest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu on not only human beings, on all of creation, all that we know and all that we don't know. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah did not say رَحْمَةً لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah said, we have not sent you except as the rahmah for all of creation, all the worlds, not only for the Muslims, not only for this world, for all the world. So therefore, the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his birth, his birth, his prophethood, his whole life is the biggest good fortune, the biggest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And his passing away is the greatest loss. It is the biggest tragedy, the biggest calamity that could ever befall all of humanity, because he passed away, and by his passing away, the silsila, the continuation of wahi stopped, because there is no wahi after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, however, what must we do with that date of birth? Now, the reason I started with the issue of sunnah is because the sunnah, as I said, is something that converts an ordinary action into an action of ibadah. For example, we drink water. Why do we drink water? If you are thirsty, we drink water. It's a tabai need, it's a natural need of ours. We need to fulfill this need, and therefore we drink water. But if you drink this water in the way that Rasulullah used to drink, which is to hold the glass in the right hand, look into the water, into the glass before you drink to ensure it is clean, sit down, drink in three sips, three gulps, say Bismillah before, say Alhamdulillah after, and so on. If you drink that water in the way of Rasulullah, not only is your thirst quenched, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that drinking of water becomes an action of ibadah. Anybody, you would wear your trouser above your ankle because it is good for the trouser, it is good for yourself. It does not get dirty. If it is hanging on the ground, it gets dirty. But if you do that with the intention that this is the sunnah of Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this becomes an action of ibadah. If you leave your shoes somewhere, it is only common sense that you should shake out your shoes. Pick up your shoes, shake them out, make sure that there is no some insect inside or some scorpion or something, and you put your foot into the shoe and you get bitten. And these things happen. It's not as if it's something unusual. These things happen. If nothing, maybe there is a small stone which is going to give you trouble as you walk. So you shake your shoes out. This is common sense. Anybody with any sense will normally do that. But you do that with the intention and the understanding that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it. It was his sunnah. And he said, do it. It becomes an action of ibadah. When you clip your nails, we all clip our nails. We have to clip our nails, otherwise the nail will grow to a point where it becomes dirty and inconvenient. But when you clip the nails, if you start with the index finger of the right hand and you go across and you go to the on the left hand, start with the small finger, go across, complete with the thumb and then come back to the right thumb. If you do it in this way, which was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clipping of nails becomes an action of ibadah. Now tell me, how do we know all this? Because the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, they noticed, they practiced, and they conveyed. They recorded. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say, that he did not write a book saying how to clip nails or, you know, how to drink water. No. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them in keeping with His majesty and grace, they noticed every single thing about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no matter how small. No matter how small. That is how much they loved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nobody but nobody can claim to love Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as much as the Sahaba did. And that is not my statement. That is not my opinion. That is not my assessment. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said that the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam love him more than they love themselves. He said, my Nabi is more lovable and more beloved to them than their own lives. This is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nobody can claim today, I cannot say, I am such a great Ashiq-e-Rasul that there is no, nobody can be Ashiq-e-Rasul more than the Sahaba. Anybody, after the Sahaba, whoever loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, loved him less than the Sahaba loved, and this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And the love of the Sahaba for the Prophet ﷺ is expressed not by singing nasheed and dancing in the streets. It is expressed by following the sunnah. By following the sunnah to every small minute detail. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has recorded in one hadith how the soles of the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were. The sole of the foot, can you imagine? The bottom of the foot. What was the bottom of the foot of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was it like? Ibn Abbas has recorded. How did he know? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in sujood, Ibn Abbas observed the bottom of his feet. Now, think about this. Here is a bunch of people who loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that they even recorded how he brushed his teeth, how he clipped his nails, how did he wear his shoes, how did he drink water, every single detail. They counted the number of white hair in his beard and they said it was less than 20. Anyway, I mean, this is unbelievable. There is nobody but nobody. If I tell any of you, describe for me your father, I can give it to you in writing. You will not be able to describe the details of your father's life as the Sahaba described the details of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your own father, who you see on a daily basis, I can bet you can't describe. If I ask you how many white hair does your father have in his beard, can anyone say? Impossible. You will have to go home and count. If he is alive, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them a long life. And if they have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill their qubur with nur. And I'm saying that our own parents, we cannot describe. If I tell you, what does your father like? You will say some things, you will miss out something because you will not know. If I ask you about your mother, you will probably know even less. But the Sahaba recorded all of that and more about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why we have the Sunnah with us, because they observe. Now think about this. Here you've got a bunch of people who loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anybody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the witness for their love. They recorded every single detail, no matter how minute and small. Find me one record, one single record, one single hadith. No matter how zaif, I'm not even looking at whether the hadith is sahih or mutawatir or this. Forget, find me a lame hadith, find me a totally zaif hadith if you like. But find me one hadith where the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain celebrated the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Find me one hadith. And I told you, every action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ibadah. To do it is ibadah. To look at the Nabi was ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah grant us this blessing inshallah when we meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. The Sahaba had this blessing. To look at the Nabi. He has just looked at the Nabi. This is ibadah. Now, people who recorded how he clipped his nails, do you think they would have forgotten to record that his birthday is to be celebrated? Is it possible? Is it logical? People who recorded even something as small and minute as how he clipped his nails, do you think they would have forgotten that he celebrated his birthday? That he had this birthday party? That he called people, that he did this, he did that on his birthday. If clipping the nails of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ibadah, celebrating his birthday would be the biggest ibadah. How come he never did it? How come the Sahaba did not record it? How come the Sahaba never did it? How come the Khulafa'i Rashidin, all four or five of them, if you include Sayyidina Hasan bin Ali radiallahu anhu, who is also included among the Khulafa, generally we mention only four, but Hasan bin Ali radiallahu anhu is also one of the Khulafa'i Rashida. Did any of them ever celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Did anybody call it Eid of Milad? There is a clear hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, for my ummah, there are two Eid. Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Khalas. There is no third Eid. Did they have this istilah? Did they call it Eid al-Milad? Did they had Milad, Mawlud, whatever you want to call it, in his time? Did they have it in the time of the Khulafa Rashida? Find me the record. I'm just saying, it's not my opinion, your opinion. Find me the record that the Sahaba did it. I will do it and I will say that you should also do it. But if you can't find the record, and I know you can't find the record, but because there is no record, then you have to tell me why and how you do it. Because to invent something in the ibadat is haram. And as I told you, you do something in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is ibadat. So you better make sure that it is something that he did. Now you might say, well, you know, all that I'm doing, I'm not, after all, in our city, we do beautiful things. We roam around in the all night on motorcycles, with green bands around our heads and brandishing wooden swords. I don't know who you are trying to impress. All you are doing is attracting a lot of hostile attention for nothing. Then we go around breaking the glass panes of businesses. We go around breaking the breaking street lights and smashing street lights. And this is the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being expressed by the Ashikhan-e Rasool of Hyderabad city. We make paper mache and bamboo and Allah knows what, and with tinsel on it, and replicas of the green dome above the Rauda of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people make tawaf around it. We make this replica and put it on a street corner, and then you have khawali, tape recorded khawali playing, blaring on loudspeakers all night. This is our love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I was informed last year, I believe, this year also, some clown has now declared that it is Eid. Therefore, there is 2 rakat of Salatul Eid on that day, and there is some imam who is leading that salah and people praying behind him. What are you going to answer on the day of judgment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where did this ibadah get invented from? This is the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is it the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow his sunnah, or is it his love to do everything that he would have prohibited? Do you think Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have said go around break the glass windows of businesses? Do you think he would have said go around and smash street lights? This is your prophet, this is my prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're definitely not mine. Definitely this is not what my Nabi told us to do. Our Nabi told us to spread goodness. He did not tell us to spread all kinds of nonsense in towns and cities. So my point is, when you do something in the name of Islam, and you do something in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he never did, then what is the dalil? How do you do that? Now you might say, well, you know, I'm not breaking windows, I'm not doing this, I'm not roaming around in the night. All I'm doing is on 12th of Rabiul Awwal, I'm having this big gathering, which is to listen to the seerah, and we are going to get a whole bunch of speakers, and they will come and talk about the seerah, and people will listen and go. After all, what is wrong with that? Now, what is wrong with that is, you have 365 days in the year, not only one day. Now, you do not do this any of the 364 days. You find that one day, 12th Rabiul Awwal, about which there is no dalil that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually born on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. There are many narrations. So that date as the birthday of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam itself is not authentic. But it's a day which is celebrated by the Juhala, by the people who are Jahilun, by the people who have no knowledge, as the birthday. So now your Jalsa, even though it may be done with great good intention, because you are doing it on that day, inadvertently, you are supporting all of these bidat. Because people say, well, you see, after all, this Jalsa also is there. And so, and Maulana this one, and Maulana that one, and Sheikh this one, and Sheikh that one, they all came. And these are all great scholars, and they have all, you know, they spoke on that particular day. So, obviously, this is a day of significance. So, I'm not saying your Jalsa is bidah. It is not bidah. To do a Jalsa of the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, alhamdulillah, is ibadah. It is very good. But if you are going to do it on a day when that day itself is celebrated as a day full of bid'at, and your jalsa is on the same day, then you are inadvertently supporting those bid'at. As simple as that. And there's nothing which prevents you from having that jalsa for on any one of the 364 other days. There's nothing to prevent you from having that jalsa every single day. That is what should be done with the seerah. The seerah is not something to be relegated to one particular day in the year. The seerah is something to be spoken about in our homes every single day of our lives. The seerah is something to be practiced every single day of our lives. It is not something to be relegated to a particular jalsa. And you have this big jalsa, and on the stage you have people who have shaved their beards. Which sunnah is this? Which Ashiq-e Rasool is this? And you have people sitting on the stage with their beard shaver. Ajeeb. I mean, we have reduced this deen to a bunch of circus tricks. I remind myself and you, please don't support any of this. Don't fall into these traps. Read the seerah, practice the seerah in your own lives. Sit with your family, talk to them every single day. Let not a day pass from today till the last day of your life when you have not mentioned Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your house. make this is your religion. You don't have to make it your religion. This is your religion. Your religion and my religion is to mention Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our homes every single day of our lives. Our religion is to practice what he did. Our religion is to bring his sunnah alive in our lives. Our religion is to love him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than we love anyone and anything else in this life, including our own lives. That is our religion. So let us try to practice that religion. Let us not fall into the trap of inventing all kinds of bid'at in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us fear Allah and let us fear the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, I will be standing by my house and I will see my ummah and I will recognize them by the sign of wudu. Their faces and their hands and their feet will shine. And he said, but when they come towards me, the malaika will come and with whips they will drive them away from me. And I will say to the malaika, why are you driving them away? These are my ummatis. The malaika will say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do not know what they did with your religion after you left. You do not know what they invented in your religion after you left. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will turn my face away and I will not look at them. Fear that day, my brothers and sisters. Be not among those who will be driven away to the Jahannam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will turn his blessed face away from us. Let us be among those who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will welcome to his house and who he will give the water of Kawthar with his blessed hand. May Allah make us among those who will take this water from the blessed hand of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and drink this water of Kawthar and follow him across the Sirat into Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.